This is episode 412, dated Monday, October 13th, Columbus Day, 2025.
You are listening to Sports Roundtable.
Hello, everyone. And welcome to Sports Roundtable. I am Bob Branco. Great to be with all of you today. This is episode 412, dated Monday, October 13th, Columbus Day, 2025. Before we continue, allow me to introduce our sports spelunkers that we have thus far. We start out with Mitch Pomerantz.
Good afternoon, good evening, as my clock strikes 2 p.m. here. Welcome from downtown Pasadena, where it is 69 and cloudy. There is a storm supposedly coming in tonight. They're getting most of it in the Bay Area, but we're like 400 miles south and east. So we're supposed to get some rain overnight, and we shall see what happens. But it's a nice, comfortable day here, and looking forward to the Dodger game tonight. Not sure how I'm going to listen to two football games and one baseball game with only 2 ears, but that's what my plan is, beginning at a little after 4 o'clock here. So good to be on the program again.
It all depends on how good you multitask, Mitch. If you are excellent at it, I think you'll do just fine.
I'll figure something out.
We're having a nor'easter here in New England today, believe it or not, and it's only October. We may have 2 to 4 inches of rain and high winds. That's our weather for today. Don Wardlow.
Yeah, we got all that rain, but we didn't get the high winds, which is good because high winds can take out your internet, which is not good. And by the way, if we should happen to have any Canadian listeners, happy Thanksgiving.
Yes, happy Thanksgiving to those people who live up
Indeed.
In Canada. All right. Reverend Michael Garrett.
Yes, and welcome from Missouri City, Texas, where it is about 87 degrees, a very nice 87 degrees, and partly cloudy skies, and we're looking for just mild 90 degree tops, maybe 87 degree weather all week long.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Well, actually pretty hot. Anyway, before we continue,
it's cool for us though, Bob.
what's that, Michael?
It's cool for us.
Yes. So let me thank those people who make it possible for a Sports Roundtable to be made available. Raymond Gay, our producer, thank you. Also, media outlets, thank you very much for what you do. Peter from Canada, who posts our episodes on the Friendship Chat Service, thank you for what you do. And also Jacqueline Sylvia of JS Web Solutions, thank you very much for archiving our programs on my website. If you want to find archived Sports Roundtable, just go to www.brancoevents.com, arrow down until you get to Sports Roundtable podcasts. Click on them, and you will see most of our archived shows from latest to earliest. And, of course, merci, Jackie. I would like to thank Trish for being our facilitator for today's program, along with Brad, who is our streamer. Because we are being streamed live, let me give out my email address. We still want to hear from fans, sports fans who listen, because we do our show for you, the fan. That's what we're all about here at Sports Roundtable. So my email address is bobbranco93@gmail.com, B-O-B-B-R-A-N-C-O 93. @gmail.com. Well, we're down to 4 teams in baseball as we speak. We have the Mariners versus the Blue Jays, and we have the Dodgers versus the Brewers. Any thoughts on these series?
Well, last night, the Mariners got underway with the Blue Jays, and I was absolutely delighted to see the Mariners take game one of that series, because the Blue Jays series against the Yankees was just a horror for me, except for game three when Aaron Judge hit a 3-run game tying home run and then Jazz Chisholm hit one that gave us the lead. But then the next night in game four, he made a critical error, which led to us losing. And so Toronto is in the series against the Mariners, and Jazz Chisholm is already, no, not Chisholm, Cody Bellinger is already whining about opting out of his contract.
You know, I saw that. I just saw that. And I'm thinking, will he ever be happy? What is it he's not happy about? He's, you know, he had two bad years with us, and I think it was by mutual agreement, he needed a change of scenery, and we didn't need a 200 hitter in our lineup. And so he goes on to the Cubs, and he gets his hitting shoes back on, and that gives him a good free agent contract in New York. So what's he blanking about now?
Do you know, Don?
And what can he possibly want that he couldn't get in New York? I mean, they'd love him there. We love all our players, maybe with the exception of Anthony Volpe. But Bellinger's a big favorite there. You know, I never understand why players want to leave the Yankees. I mean, they're the best address in baseball. That's what their broadcaster calls Yankee Stadium. Used to be the home office of baseball. I mean, why would you want to play for like Kansas City or
the Athletics,
Pittsburgh or the Athletics? Yeah, exactly.
Colorado.
Don, here's the irony for you. The Dodgers need an outfielder, and it's clear that it doesn't matter what that outfielder is going to ask, assuming that some fences have been mended. It would be ironic as all get out if Bellinger came back to L.A.
Well, I think it's either the two things that drive these guys. Well, maybe three. Money, of course, and being the big dog, you know, being the guy that gets the attention and winning. So.
Well, then he better not come to L.A. because he won't be the big dog here.
Well,
yeah,
well,
exactly.
But if they're winning and he gets good money,
yeah,
he might, you know, be out. But those are the things I think that drive these players.
And he won't be the big dog in New York because of Aaron Judge.
Well, he knows he's not the big dog there.
But that game last night, though, I digressed, unfortunately. But, you know, they were behind the Mariners for most of the game, and then suddenly Cal Raleigh tied it up doing what Cal Raleigh is so good at. He hit
hitting home
his,
run.
His home run, his second of the playoffs, and after 60 in the regular season, just absolutely wonderful. And that was in Canada. So they stole one, as they're saying on their broadcast before we took the air today. They were saying this is a gravy game because they won one game in Canada already. And then they're heading to Seattle, which tends not to be a very friendly place for other teams to play in.
But here's the deal. You're talking about Jazz Chisholm. Did you guys listen to the Dodger-Cub game, Dodger-Philly game Thursday? That poor guy, I really did feel badly for him and his throwing to the wrong base and throwing it badly to begin when he threw it to home plate.
Kirkering,
I don't know, is he ever going to get over that? I mean, that ended the game and the series, which is, you know, I mean, Chisholm's error was obviously not good, but this poor guy, he lost the series to the Phillies, potentially.
Yeah, that was a walk-off right there.
Now, who are we talking about for the Phillies?
Ryan Kirkering.
Kirkering, okay. Yep.
Yeah. And how they lost that game. It was a little bounder back to him. Pius broke his bat. The catcher wrote a first base, and he panicked. And by his own admission, he panicked, and he threw to home plate, and he threw wildly. And Kim, who was there as a pinch runner, I should say, for Edmund, he came in and wasn't even close.
Well, that happens. That happens. I, you know, those guys are under a lot of stress.
Yep,
because it's a playoff game. It's the game. And you know, you don't want to make a mistake, but you do. You do the very opposite of what you really want to do.
Michael, so, even more than that, this kid had just been called up in late August, early September. He wasn't even used to being in the majors yet.
Yeah. I mean, it hurts. You know, the Phillies are not happy. It hurts. But unfortunately, it happens. It just happens like that.
I hope the guy's winter home is not anywhere near Pennsylvania.
Yeah, that might
not around Philly.
No, next year they're looking at maybe having Zach Wheeler back. Hopefully they will. And that would make a wonderful addition to the team. So,
speaking of pitchers coming back down, your Yankees rotation is going to look real awesome next year.
With Jared
Real. Cole. You got with Cole Fried, Rodon.
That's a big three. And Schlittler, maybe?
Schlittler or Clark Schmidt might be back.
No, they're looking at him for 27. They said he had a more serious injury than usual. And so he don't look for him in 26, they said.
Was it his arm?
Yeah, it was his elbow, his UCL, his Tommy John.
Oh, boy.
So. But somebody else opted out of the Yankees, not just Bellinger. Wasn't there somebody else?
I haven't heard. Bellinger was the only one I heard about. But I'm sure I will hear about it as time goes by.
But are they going to keep Giancarlo? He's certainly fallen on hard times.
His contract is very lengthy, though, Mitch. I think he still has a ways to go, doesn't he?
Oh, okay.
I don't know.
Wasn't it a 13-year deal, Don? I thought it was.
I don't recall.
When it first started.
May have been. I don't know.
Hey, Boston will take him, right, Bob?
What was that?
Boston will take him. I said Boston will take him.
Giancarlo, no, thank you. As a matter of fact, as a Red Sox fan, I'll tell you who I would like to get. I would like to get Pete Alonso.
That's who opted out of New York, just the other New York team.
Yeah, the Mets, not the Yanks. Yeah, Pete Alonso.
Why would he opt out? And there again, they absolutely adore him in Queens. I mean, Boston fans are not exactly known for showering their players with adoration.
Well, what I'm thinking, Don, is that Pete Alonso got up out of bed one day and said, you know what? The Mets spent $340-something million this year, and we didn't go anywhere. So I'm out of here.
Well, now, part of that is for him not having a particularly good season. And there was a lot else there, but he was a part of what happened with the 340 mil.
I think you're saying Boston fans and media, I mean, they loved the Big Poppy. And
he's a special case. You're right.
They loved him.
Some of them, the media can be brutal in Boston.
14 years with us.
Yeah.
Bob, go ahead, Michael.
No, the quarterback.
Oh, Tom Brady, of course.
Tom Brady, yeah.
You know, that makes sense for the Red Sox to sign Alonso. They wanted to make Devers a first baseman, and that didn't work out. So Alonso may end up there.
Well, what
they
about,
need a right-handed power bat. That's one thing that came back to bite them in September. They
about,
just don't have
Tristan
the power.
Casas, he'll be healthy again one day.
One day. I'm not sure what day. I hope it's soon.
How did Bregman do for you guys the whole year?
He did fine before his injury, and he did a little bit okay after his injury. He was like underachieving, especially in the last month of the season. But his defense was there, of course.
Of course.
You know. So I'm going to say, if we want to make our predictions, who's going to join in the World Series, I'm going to say between the Dodgers and Brewers, the ALCS, I mean the NLCS rather, Dodgers-Brewers, I'm going to pick the Dodgers in five, and I'm going to pick Seattle over the Blue Jays in seven.
That'll be a heck of a series if it goes seven.
Seattle versus the Dodgers in the World Series. That's what I'm going to
do. I have been a Dodger fan since 1958, and I will say what I've said on a couple of previous shows. The big flaw over and above the bullpen, and we've apparently found our multi-million dollar closer in Sasaki, at least for now.
For the time being.
But the big flaw in the Dodgers' armor is the Dodger pitchers, their starters have an aversion to holding base runners on, and Milwaukee is going to run the Dodgers ragged, I fear. And you know, unless something changes, I really think, and I Milwaukee's starting pitching is good, is very good. And I just have a feeling that Brewers are going to take it, probably in seven. And I think Toronto is the best team in the American League. Granted, it was at the end of the season. Dodgers went into Seattle. You said that's a tough place to win. Dodgers swept them when the series, it really didn't mean much to the Dodgers either, for that matter, and we swept them. So
you mean the end of the year season?
Yeah, the last series.
Yeah.
So
I think both teams, well, Seattle knew that they were in.
They were in, yeah.
They had won.
But I think it's going to be Milwaukee and Toronto, but I'm sure hoping that it's the Dodgers. But that's
Mitch, come on, brother.
Yeah.
You've been saying that all year.
Yeah, I have. And Milwaukee exploited it.
Yeah, but who's been winning? Look at where the Dodgers are. They're there.
We won because most of the teams in the National League, except of course against the Dodgers, they don't run. And I'm here to tell you, the Brewers are play old school baseball, and that's a problem. And oh, by the way, the Brewers beat the Dodgers 4 or 5 out of 6 during the regular season, doing exactly what I'm afraid they're going to do this time. So I'm just being a brutal realist here. Unless the Dodgers actually figure out a way to hold runners on all of a sudden, and Will Smith's hand is a lot better than what I'm thinking it is. It still hurts him to grip a ball and throw to second. I think we're in for a tough series, albeit a 7-game series.
Michael?
Yeah.
What do you think?
I don't doubt. Oh, what my predictions are? Well, I take into consideration what Mitch is saying, but my thing is the Dodgers have figured out a way to win. So I'm gonna say Dodgers and Seattle.
Okay. All right, Don.
I tell you what, my heart wants the Brewers to win because I'm a big fan of one of their starters, Jake Mizorowski. They call him the Miz on Milwaukee broadcasts.
Coming star.
I call him Polish Power because my phone can't say the word Mizorowski, can't even come close. So I call him Polish Power after Ivan Putski. And they also have a buddy of mine, Josh Maurer, in their broadcasting booth. He's their pre- and post-game host, so I wouldn't care to take that to Vegas, but I want to put my heart on Milwaukee taking the Dodgers out, and I absolutely don't want to see Toronto in the World Series. No way.
I can understand why.
Even though neither team is going to get ratings, I'd much rather see more of Cal Raleigh. Yeah. The more of Cal Raleigh I see, the more I like him. And the more I listen to Rick Riz, the Hall of Famer, and Gary Hill and Aaron Goldsmith and Shannon Dreyer. And if you don't know who they are, they're the broadcasters for the Seattle Mariners. And Rick Riz learned what he knows from Dave Niehaus, another Hall of Famer and icon in the North.
Who got his, well, I don't know if Niehaus got his start here, but he was in LA sports for many years.
Yes,
before
he went up to
Seattle.
Correct.
Yeah, and before he went to Seattle.
He became an icon, and now Rick Riz is also an icon. And so I want the more of them I can hear. And with the new, well, not new, but with the rules as they are now, you can listen to whichever, you know, team you want. You're not stuck listening to the national network broadcast. You know, going back to the 70s and 80s, you had no choice, but you can listen to the team that you choose. So I'm hoping it's Seattle, Milwaukee. I would love to see that happen. Although if I was in Vegas, I'd say the Dodgers and Seattle. I would never put Toronto, not even in Vegas.
Right. Before we continue, I just wanted to say hi to Bob Acosta, a listener at the Sports Roundtable. Thank you for listening. Peter Altschul won't be here with us today, although in another several weeks or so, he will be back with us almost permanently as his schedule will change, and he'll be with us much more often come December. He wanted me to pass that along to all of you, and I think Luther will be here shortly. When he does, we will definitely acknowledge him. So
when we get done talking baseball, I want to ask Don a question.
Okay, ask away.
I heard what I consider the poorest excuse for an NFL broadcaster this weekend.
Uh-oh.
And I want your input on it.
Okay.
But if we're still talking baseball, I won't move us away from there. But
oh, I was going to get to football. As a matter of fact, at some point, I want to talk about the joy that Michael feels right now because of the college situation. We can get to that. But go ahead, Mitch.
My joy too. I didn't get back from the USC Michigan game till almost 10 o'clock, as it took us over an hour to get out of the parking structure we were parked in. And then I went to bed so I could get up at 6 a.m. to catch the Denver Jets game. And because SiriusXM, their NFL channel, was using a British broadcaster.
Oh, my.
Nothing against the Brits, but I figured this guy probably doesn't know a whole lot more about football, our football, than I do about soccer.
Yeah.
So I tuned into the Denver Broncos broadcast. Dave Logan is horrible. He has no emotion.
Is he play-by-play or color?
Play-by-play.
Really?
He
Dave Logan?
Was horrible.
Huh.
It was like, he didn't want to be there. Or something. Tune him in, Don, if you've got SiriusXM or if you've got.
Which I have. Yep. I got it.
Listen to Logan.
Good.
The next Denver game.
Well.
It was dreadful.
Wasn't he a player once upon a time?
I thought he might be. And, you know, some of these guys go into being analysts. I don't know of any, one of the Miami guys.
I've never heard him do a broadcast, but if you think about it, though, he's in London. He came from Denver to London. He could be, you know, jet lagged out of his mind, or he could be not wanting to be there. Like you said, frankly, if you said to me, go to London, I wouldn't want to go. So. You know,
I've only been there going through the airport a couple of times.
Unless I was going there for a boxing match, I would do that.
You as a professional broadcaster or an analyst, really would love to hear your input next week
They probably don't have a game this week because they're coming back from London.
This is another week.
That's madness.
They play the Giants. Denver plays the Giants at 4:05 p.m.
I would like to know the end game here. Why are we always in London now? It's not like we're going to expand the league, are we? Why are we in London?
I hope not.
Because that is what they want to do ultimately. I really believe that the long view is to have a professional NFL league in Europe, but not with the second stringers like was the case for when back in the 90s, whenever that League of American Football existed. I think that they're either looking to put 4 or 6 teams, maybe 2 teams into England and maybe 1 or 2 into Germany, because they did have a game there.
As a separate league or as an expansion to the NFL?
I think as an expansion to the NFL.
That's madness.
I agree. I think I'm with you. I think it'd be a financial.
You know, if I can make a, if I can make, I don't know what they call this, an example, putting and going back time and time and time again to London with our brand of football is like someone like myself. And I'm, believe me, I'm no Brad Pitt, going time and time and time into a room full of exceedingly wonderful looking women and expecting them to, you know, be kind and loving and be happy to see me. Not going to happen. And going time and time again doesn't necessarily mean they'll ever warm up to you.
Well, if you listened to that game at all yesterday, and I did, it made a soccer game look exciting.
Wow.
The New York Jets finished with a negative 10 yards passing the entire game.
That's about their usual, though. Although I was really too ill to listen to much of anything yesterday.
I think they had 2 first downs in the first half.
Murder.
And as it is, they were up 11-10 at one point, and then Denver kicked the late field goal, or not so late field goal, to win 13-11. That was a bad game. But Dave Logan was uninspired and uninspiring even when that game first started.
Well, if I remember, which is iffy, but if I remember, I will make an effort to listen to him and bring a report back to the round table.
Yeah.
I don't know who's worse, the Jets or the Dolphins.
That'll be my quest to bring that back to the round table. Yeah.
Worst team in the NFL, the Bengals will give the Jets a run for their money. The Dolphins almost beat the Chargers yesterday, for God's sake.
Yeah.
The Chargers, talk about playing down to your competition. The Chargers played down to their competition and darn near lost.
So is Harbaugh, I got asked the question this morning, is Harbaugh's job in jeopardy?
No. They love him. The issue is they've got so many holes on their offensive line, and their top 2 running backs are out for the season.
They got some injuries on defense too, don't they?
No, yesterday the guy that led them, he was not supposed to be their starting running back, Kalari Vidal. They just signed him off the practice squad, and he led against Miami. He had over 100 yards rushing. But they are desperately looking for a running back before the trade deadline.
What do you guys think of Flacco going to Cincinnati?
I was surprised that they traded him or let him go because they don't have any experience.
They're going to sink or swim with Gabriel and Sanders, and you know they're going to compete with the Jets. Although I think Cleveland's a better team, actually, than the Jets or the Bengals. But they're all going to be fighting to get to the bottom of the barrel to get that first draft pick next
season. Along with Miami.
Yeah.
Is Flacco still pretending to be a player, or is he a coach? Or what? He's got to be as old as I am.
He quarterbacked them yesterday.
Yeah,
My God.
He actually threw a touchdown pass to Chase.
You got to be kidding.
No.
Man, that's a good way to get himself injured at his age.
Well, they must have gotten special dispensation to allow wheelchairs on the field.
Yeah.
Once Burrow scheduled to come back, that'll probably indicate how long Flacco's going to be around. If that
I haven't last heard. 3 or 4 games of the season is what I've heard.
Yeah, I haven't heard, but he has a pretty serious injury.
Yeah.
So how about the college football scene, Michael? I know you're happy today. Mitch, I think you are too because of UCLA. But
I was happy because USC took Michigan down. And
USC, I mean.
Yeah, we took Michigan. Well, yeah. I'm happy that with UCLA, finally with a decent interim coach, that USC won't take them for granted and get our heads handed to us at the end of the season, because I'll be at that game too.
Well, it appears that USC is playing a little defense this year.
Well, we did. We had our once a game defensive lapse. Michigan scored their second touchdown in the third I think it was the third quarter on a 69-yard pass, and the three defensive guys, they were kind of pointing at each other like, he was yours. No, he was yours. But we overcame that, and we overcame our fumble at the 6-yard line in their territory and an INT on their 18 or 19. It actually should have been a much wider gap than it was, but it was a great game, and I enjoyed being there. And Michael, you're doing well too.
I was totally surprised at Texas and Oklahoma, because I thought that Oklahoma would just run us ragged, because they got their starting quarterback back, and the guy is talented. But our defense played lights out. I mean, they played so well. And Arch Manning, he looked like a quarterback. Not great, but he looked like a quarterback. And so hopefully he continues to grow, and maybe the season won't be all lost. I was looking at the bowl projections, and they have Texas in one bowl. I can't remember which bowl, against Nebraska.
No, I want a Texas USC bowl game, Michael, my brother.
Well, that would be nice.
That game totally surprised me. I mean, I got about 9 alerts on my phone about the Red River rivalry, and I'm like, well, why bother? Oklahoma's just going to bury them. But yeah, That's not what happened. I thought, you know, Arch Manning would do what Arch Manning had been doing from the beginning of the season on, but that's not what happened. In fact, Oklahoma, I don't think it even was all that close a game, if I remember right.
Well, the final score ended up, you know, 23-6, so it
wasn't a very close game. Big surprise to me.
What is apparent, and I think we've touched on it before, with the exception maybe of Ohio State, there are no great college teams this year. Oregon got their heads handed to them by Indiana, of all places, all teams. Penn State was beaten again, and it cost Franklin his job.
His job, yes.
There are no great teams this year. Everybody is, you know, parity has come to the college football like it has to the NFL, with Ohio State maybe is the exception.
Well, and I think Penn State, one of their big players, maybe even their quarterback, got wiped out, and he's done.
Yeah, Aller's out for the season.
Yeah, you know, that hurts. But now let's go back. Let's talk about Indiana, because I was reading today, well, even last night, they're talking about who could succeed Franklin. And I think the guy's name is Saxetti or something like that, the guy at Indiana.
I don't know his name.
I think it's something like Saxetti or something. I'm not sure. I can't remember what. But word is that this guy has won everywhere he's been. He's a good coach. He's a good recruiter. He's he has a good eye for talent. And they're saying that they could get him, or Matt Rhule, Nebraska, who's won everywhere he's been, or he's improved teams. So they could, but and he is a I think he's a Penn State alum.
So who Rhule is?
Rhule, that's from what I read, he played linebacker at.
Well, that would seem to be the natural place for him to go.
Yeah. But see, he's got a quarterback there. I don't know if he'd go with him, Dylan Raiola. He's got a quarterback that originally signed with Georgia. So Nebraska went and hired his dad to be an assistant coach. And so he dropped his commitment to Georgia and went to Nebraska.
That's how, you know, that's done so much in college sports. That's how USC ended up with the Mobley kids a few years ago. They hired his dad, their dad, to be one of their assistant basketball coaches, and you know, so it happens. That's big in college sports. They do that all the time. Yeah.
So let me see if we have anybody listening to our show right now on our call who would like to speak to us. So, Trish, do we have any hands raised at this particular time?
Let's give it a second.
Okay, we will. You're listening to Sports Roundtable, folks, on this rainy day in New England, a beautiful day in Texas, and a pretty good day in California, although Mitch said a storm is coming.
Yeah, storm's coming in.
Yeah.
And there are no hands.
Let us know when that happens, when that changes. Thank you, Trish.
I will.
So the NBA starts in another week. NHL started last week. My Bruins.
Excuse me.
Yes?
We just got a hand. I'm sorry.
Who is it?
Matthew has his hand up. Go ahead, Matthew.
All right. Welcome to the show, Matthew. What can we do for you?
I know he wants to talk about Texas Tech.
That's okay. Go ahead, Matthew.
Oh, yes, I do. It's looking good down there in Lubbock, or up there in Lubbock. I'm not there anymore, but I will be there in a couple of weeks to go see my alumni. And, man, it's exciting to know that you got a backup quarterback that can get some things done. Hopefully they let the kid rest. We need him for the BYU game coming up in a couple of weeks. I'd let Will get these next two games and continue the role, because we've got some bigger fish to fry than just being bowl eligible. I want to know what you guys' thoughts are on it.
Well, Tech always seems to get a group of good quarterbacks. They are and fast receivers. They always come up with some really good skilled players. And this year, it seems as though Tech has put together a defensive squad that's pretty good. So they have an explosive offense, a pretty good defense. And they're right now, I think they are the class of the Big 12. They came here and they both were undefeated, to the University of Houston and Texas Tech. And they beat Houston quite decisively.
Yes, sir. That defense was showing up. That's normally not been our style. Yeah. You know, we just blow people out offensively. And that old air raid is kind of not necessarily fizzing out, because we still get the receivers that want to play in a big offense like that, and got quarterbacks that have big arms that can throw those deep balls to those good receivers. So that's what we've always been pretty good at. But now this defense, and we stole them from Houston, if I remember right.
Yeah, well, I was just gonna say, they recruit well here in the Houston area.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wreck them, and I think I'm gonna take the Brewers. I like those smaller market teams, because the Dodgers continue, those big market teams spend all the money. I like to see them not win when they got all the money.
On that note, Matthew, I'm with you. As much as I picked the Dodgers, I used my head when I made that prediction. I mean, I don't know, everybody has different opinions, and that's great.
Yeah.
But you're right about the Brewers. I'd like to see my heart would like to see somebody different, and somebody with a reasonably low payroll win a championship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see that happen.
And the Mariners. I got to see the young kid that's playing for Seattle, the catcher. I got to see him when he came to Texas Tech to play when he was in college. And he was a monster then, and he's a monster now. And, man, I'd like to see them win. So those are my picks. Thanks for letting me share. You guys have a great week.
Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, Matthew. I'll tell you, the Mariners have the starting pitching, though. And I think that's what's going to give them the edge. Toronto may be a better hitting team, and they do have a couple of decent starters like Gausman and Scherzer. But the Mariners have Kirby, Gilbert, Miller, when Wu gets back. I mean, they just have abundant starting pitching. Their bullpen, well, we can talk about that some other time, I suppose. But
one of the things that's hurting Toronto, or may hurt Toronto, is they've lost Bichette. He's not on their ALCS roster, whatever the leg or knee issue he's been fighting for a while. He's not playing. The problem, and I understand about big market versus small market teams. I happen to be pleased that I live in a big market, money wise, at least Dodgers wise, but the media isn't happy about the possibility of a Toronto Milwaukee Seattle Milwaukee series, because the ratings aren't going to be as high as in L.A. or New York. I mean, we're the teams everybody loves to hate. And it's sort of like with the Cowboys, Michael, in football. Mm-hmm. And you know, Milwaukee and Seattle, the ratings aren't going to be all that good, I don't think.
Yeah, because when you look at the rest of the country, they're going to say, who?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, this will be a good time for the country to get to know these teams so that they can watch them next year or the year after or any other time. Well,
it'll be us diehards.
I mean, Raleigh is Seattle in the minds of nominal baseball fans. Maybe the average fan has now heard of this guy because of all the records he set.
It's not just anybody who hits 60 home runs a season.
That's right. Exactly. Even in this era.
Yeah, yeah.
And by the way, at some point, because power hitting catchers, at some point in the next couple of years, he'll be moved to first base.
Yep.
It wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm.
It would not surprise me at all.
I mean, the legs go.
Yeah.
The knees go.
And what Matthew mentioned was about him playing college ball. He went to Florida State. I don't know if he played Texas Tech in a playoff game or if they went down there for a tournament, which is quite likely at the beginning of the year. Schools in Texas and California and Louisiana, they have these tournaments. Texas seems to have most of them. And so he could have gotten a chance to witness Cal Raleigh then. And as Matthew said, he was a monster on the college level with FSU, and he's a terror now.
Yeah. That doesn't always translate. You know, it's interesting.
You know it.
I'm always interested, and I talk about it in football, how many four- and five-star players come out of college and are busts, and or even come out of high school and go to college and are busts. And,
right.
And it doesn't always translate. Rick Monday always makes a point. You are the best player on your high school team. You go to college and you're one of a bunch of guys who are equally good. Or if you are the best player on your college team, you get drafted. You end up in the low minors and you find out there are a bunch of other guys. Every time you move up in class, I don't think I've told this story before, but when I was working for the city of LA as a trainer, I had a class one day and I got to talking to a guy on the break who had played low. I think at the time it was still D or C ball when the minor leagues were set up that way. And this guy had played lower end baseball in the Mets organization. And he said, I knew the day that Buddy Harrelson walked into our locker room with all the hype around him. And when I saw him play, I knew my career was over.
Wow.
Well, I'll use a football story. When Vince Young was here playing in Madison High School,
school that my daughter graduated from. He, you know, he was the king of the hill. I mean, he was good. And before he went to Texas, they played, you know, those high school all-star games. And he said, I really want to go to that. So he went, he said, and he said, the reason I played in that game is because I wanted to see if I was as good as all those guys. Because you got the best guys. Those are the guys that were going to go to all these different colleges. And he acquitted himself quite well in that game. And he said, I think I'm ready.
So, well, you guys know who Petros Papadakis is, don't you?
Radio guy out your way.
Radio guy in L.A.
Petros and Money.
Petros and Money. Petros's father, his name was John Papadakis. And
he's Greek.
Yes. Oh, yeah. And well, I'll finish the story with that. John went to the same high school as a friend of mine at USC, her sister. And John came out of high school. He was going to be an All-American at USC. He was going to have a great pro career. John, and we were there at the same time. I never met him. He had a great first 2 years as a linebacker at USC, and then all of a sudden, the competition got tougher. And not only did he finished at USC, but he was never drafted, and he ended up opening up the best Greek restaurant in Los Angeles for about three decades. It was called, not surprisingly, Papadakis. But he was supposed to be the best linebacker in high school football and had a couple of good years at USC. And then all of a sudden, nothing. And, you know, that just seems to happen to a lot of these kids, which is why, to me, it borders on tragic that with NIL now, these kids, as they weren't all that focused on getting an education in the first place, but now with NIL, they could care less. And it's really sad because 99% of these kids coming out of high school, whatever major sport they're playing, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, they're not going to make it to the pros. They're just not. And they've squandered a chance to get a good education and actually have something to fall back on.
Well, you hope you have the respect, I think, of coaches or coaching staff who will bring a kid in. Yeah, you got the nil thing, but some of them still have academic requirements for the team.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I have respect for those when they send out the reports and they say, you know, 80% of our players are, you know, at this level, that level. And you have a couple of guys who will graduate in 3 years, but they'll stay an additional year to play. But so I respect those coaches who recruit for the student, and they sell the parents on the fact that, you know, oh yeah, he's gonna get his grades. He's gonna go to class. We have tutors, that sort of thing.
Well, that's what Peter did when he was at the University of Missouri. He worked tutoring a lot of the athletes. The other thing that's happened, Michael, I read, I get the Trojan Family magazine for the alumni at USC, and there was an article comes out monthly. There was an article that came out a couple of years ago about former USC football players, some of whom had a pretty decent career in the pros and then came back to USC to finish their degrees. One of them is one of our color analysts for the pregame and in-game guy you may remember named Sean Cody.
Yeah.
And Cody was kind of the focal point of this article because I think he was in the NFL for 7 or 8 years. And he came back when his career was done and he finished and got his degree. And there were several athletes that they talked about. He's the one I remember. But that really needs to be emphasized. A lot of these, you know, so the kid, maybe he's not going to concentrate on his education because he's got his eyes on, you know, going to work in the pros, but they really ought to encourage a lot of these young men to go back to school. When their career's done, they've made their million or two or whatever, if they haven't squandered it, go back to school, get your degree, finish your education.
Yeah. You hope that some schools do, but you think about it, you know, there are right at a million kids, I think, playing college football at various colleges.
Yeah.
And so, and you only take about 270 a year. Drafted. Now, granted, you got another, you know, couple of hundred kids who come in as unsigned free agents. Some of them show their skills and get into the league, but there's a ceiling of guys on those rosters. You've got to. They can only bring in 90 guys in the beginning, and you only get down to, you know, you got your 53 man playing roster, and you got a 16 man, you know,
practice squad.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yep.
That's it.
Mm. In well, the few now, minutes. Go ahead,
Don. Well, I was just going to say, and apparently the minor league, the independent league, what is it, United Football League, World, whatever it's called now, they're apparently getting closer to becoming an NFL minor league. I only heard part of the story over the weekend, but it sounds like we're headed the direction of pro baseball and hockey, of actually having a football minor league.
I wonder where that would leave the number one draft picks in the NFL. Would they have to stay in the minors for a year?
I think they
probably not.
No, I think they would bring those guys up, those number ones, because you don't, football being a different sport, you know, too easy to get hurt and that kind of thing. I think they want those guys in the league. They'll groom them while they're on the roster. It's the other positions and guys who are just at the crossroads.
Yeah.
They go down, let's see what you do. And I think it's going that way because there have been several guys who've come up. They've gone to that league and brought those guys up to the NFL.
Yeah.
Well, they won't have to freeze to death playing in Canada. They can play in a little warmer weather and play minor league football here in the States.
Exactly. NBA starts next week. Any thoughts? Any predictions, projections? Are they going to have that ridiculous tournament in November or December again? What's happening?
I haven't heard, but the thing,
I'm sure they
will. We'll be watching is what does KD bring to the Rockets?
Durant. Sure. Absolutely.
And he can he make a difference?
Speaking of malcontents.
Yeah.
How about Giannis? Is it true that he may be leaving Milwaukee? I'm hearing a lot of rumblings about Giannis. I don't know how true they are, but
I thought they settled.
I thought they did. We heard those rumblings last year at the end of the season. But I thought he was okay. Well, I don't say he was okay, but I thought they'd made a settlement, like they said.
No, and what we're going to be looking at in L.A. is at least the first 6 weeks of the season, we're going to be LeBron-less, so we can start prepping for when he actually retires. I don't know if you heard, last week, I think it was, there was supposed to be a second big announcement, and we were all thinking, oh, he's now going to announce what most of us already expect, that this will be his last season. And some guy paid $800 to get a stream, one of the, I don't know if it was Netflix or whom, to see LeBron's big announcement. And the announcement was LeBron's signing up with a major manufacturer of brandy. He was the spokesperson for Hennessy, which is it's my favorite brandy. But apparently this guy was so ticked off that he's turning around and suing LeBron for the money that he spent thinking that LeBron was actually going to announce his retirement. It was going to be as big as him leaving Cleveland. Oh, they'll pay him off.
Rather than the NBA, my big deal is women's college basketball, as you all know. And there's already been the first terrible injury. South Carolina's Chloe Kitts, one of their stars, wiped out her ACL in a pickup game. And that's the end of her for 2025-26. And that bothers me, no matter whether it's UConn, South Carolina, whatever team. I hate to see a girl, tear up her day and be done for the year.
When does that season start?
November 3rd. UConn will be in Germany, surprisingly.
And we have about 1 minute.
All right. Thank you, Trish. Let's hope for the best there.
A great example of bad journalism. They interview Juju Watkins pregame USC game and never asked her whether she was playing this year. Now, we had all heard months ago that she was going to sit out the season. Never once did they ask her, how's your knee? Is it true you're not playing this year?
They should have. They can't take for granted that everybody knows she's toast for the year.
Let's hope for the best for the women, of course, and the lady from Carolina recovers quickly. Carolina, right, Don?
South Carolina, Chloe Kitts.
Chloe Kitts. Well, let's hope for a speedy recovery for Chloe, and let's hope for the best for all of our teams moving forward. No matter what sport we're talking about, we're out of time. Thank you, everyone, for your participation, and we'll see you guys and ladies next week here on Sports Roundtable. Go safe with God's abundance.